why I made your hearing and your ears. So that you can hear the practical and earthly instructions that would be given so that you can live life effectively. But mainly your ears were made, your hearing was fashioned so that you would hear my voice and my direction. I created your ability to speak so that you could converse, communicate, and relate. But mainly, I created your voice to give me praise and to give me glory. So if you will give me your voice tonight, and you will give me your ear, you will take another step forward in doing my will, and I shall be pleased, saith the Lord.
Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. That's it. Go ahead. Give him that voice. Give him that ear today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What an amazing God. We should never be surprised at what the Lord does. But I never cease to be amazed at what he does. In other words, if we ask for prayer and believe in our hearts, why should we be surprised when God answers? But I don't ever want to get over the amazement and awe of what an awesome God he is. And that's how I'm feeling right now, just hearing the word we just heard, the rhema of God, that he knows exactly where we are. And in just a few minutes, I'll share more, but it was just strange that a few weeks ago, when just unplanned, just pondering this weekend, if I remember correctly, the first direction I had was on this night. And the Lord has just set that up with a prophetic word that we're in the right place at the right time to hear his voice. Hallelujah. I want to hear his voice. Not just in this meeting, but my life. I want to hear his voice. And I'm going to just get ahead of myself to say, I believe God wants to bring his voice back to this generation. Praise God. Father, we yield to you right now. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Cleanse my thoughts and my mind and help me to be sensitive, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to pursue you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. How many feel a witness of his spirit here today? Praise God, praise God, praise God. It's been stated I miss my wife and family that cannot be here, and Pastor was talking about maybe me playing, and I don't like to do that without family, so I miss my family, so I'm recruiting my extended family here. I want us just to, whoever's coming, I told Melody, if it's one, many, you get Nathan to sing with you, that's all right with me. But I want us just to follow the Lord in this house. Amen. Praise God. Let's lift our hearts to him one more time. Lord, we love you. We bless your name. When I come to this great congregation, you think, like that song years ago, we used to sing, what can be said that hasn't already been said about Jesus? And I know there's been wonderful preaching, much has been said through the years of this congregation. And so I need the help of the Lord. And there's nothing new under the sun, but I do believe in an aptly word that's fitly spoken. And by the way, I'm preaching. Don't look for a text. I'm preaching now. Let the recording begin. Let the ears open. We are on live, all right? So it's going to be a little different, but that's kind of my definition. But through the years, I guess since 16 years of age, I really started seeing the hand of God on my life. There's no way I would expect you to remember, but I gave a book report in a back Sunday school room that I think your mother used to teach in. It was a Crossroads Christian school, and the Holy Ghost moved on a book report. Now, that's no credit to me. It was just a initial understanding of what the Lord was starting to do in my life. So that's been, I guess, a little short of 40 years ago. And through that time, I have sensed when I come to a congregation, especially not one that I'm pastoring, I usually use a couple guidelines, maybe would help somebody here today, of, what do you talk about? What do you speak on? And one of the things that I consider is, what has God been saying to me lately? And that's what you experienced this morning. There's another thing that I think about, and that is, what has God given me a unique voice or understanding of that through life and the themes it kind of shows up? And I would have to say to you that that's going to be one of those here tonight, that through the years of just my understanding and people that have helped me, I want to share a very fundamental and key thing that I pray would help you. When I was driving over here, I said, Lord, we're coming here to have church and be together, but we need to do more than just that. I want to do something that would help us to take that next move forward in the spirit of revelation and walk in His grace. I will say I have had added number three to that just this week. Got to thinking about it, and so I guess at 54 I've added a third one, and that is, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently? That one's kind of embarking upon me now, and trust me, I work on that one every time, all the time. Just this week, after 30 years, how come you didn't get that? So we're learning together, but we've seen a thing or two, so we know a thing or two. And so today, I want to speak, as I mentioned this morning, about hearing the voice of God. Would you say that with me, please? Hearing the voice of God. And listening to and responding to the voice of God is vital in our relationship with God. I would contend that it is, for the lack of a better word, one of the most basic skills that we must develop as people of God. Not just these preachers that need to hear from God on what to talk about on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. We need to hear from God in our daily living. This generation needs us to hear from God. And it's a very, very important thing that hearing God's voice plays a tremendous role in our lives. And I know to a great extent it can be caught more than taught. But I've also seen through the years some things that I think can help us to mature and to advance in hearing the voice of God. Anybody want to hear His voice? Amen. Amen. Is this all right? It's going to be a little different, but it's going to be okay. And we're going to do it anyway, so I hope it's all right. Amen. But I do feel the direction of the Lord. I remember many years ago, a young man that was just a tremendous man in character, loved God, but we noticed that he had difficulty finding and hearing the voice of God in his life. And so I think through time and again experiences and just sharing with people and them sharing with me that we can see that there's some things we can do to help you. And I'd like to turn our attention in the scriptures to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11 here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says that the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. God had already spoken directly and audibly with Moses and Joshua. But his word had become rare during these 3 centuries that were ruled by the judges. And by Eli's time, the prophet here, there were no prophets that were speaking messages to Israel directly. And you may ask, why is that? Well, there's, I guess, many reasons, but when you look at the attitude of Eli's sons, you can understand that they either refused to listen to God or they allowed greed to get in their way of communication with him. But it was a sinful state. People were doing what was right in their own eyes. And so the scripture says that there was no widespread revelation. I want you to understand that when we're reading this from verse 1 to verse 2, this is generations. This is something that's been going on for a long time. But verse 2 says, "And it came to pass at that time that Eli was lying in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down. Before dawn, middle of the night, early in the pre-dawn era time," well, however you would like to say that. I want you to understand that just outside the holy place, most likely Samuel was just a few yards from the presence of God and the Ark of the Covenant. And it was in this setting and in this time of this generation that the Bible says, I love this so beautifully, that verse 4, that the Lord called Samuel. He began to break the silence, and he called out Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and he lay down. And then yet again, the Lord called Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." And then there's a parenthetical statement in verse 7 that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. He is in the learning process. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Then he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." That's when Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Then Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in the place. Now the Lord came and stood and called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel." I'm going to let you in on something. I want to reveal what I'm about to do in this generation. I'm going to do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. From this story, I'd like to draw some lessons that we can learn from the life of Samuel. From this narrative here, I think we can find out how that we can understand his voice, how it operates in your life and my life. And if I want to share with you, first of all, some lessons that we can learn from Samuel, the life of Samuel, about hearing the voice of God. And you can do what you will. There'll be points on the screen. But first of all, number one, it began with "Here I am." Did you notice that? Samuel, hearing God's voice in his life, began with "Here I am." There's a spirit that is, must be, that we are ready to listen. There must be what I would call a posture of consecration, something that's continually going on. Paul said, "I die daily
to this flesh. I receive that as an attitude of consecration, not something that we call every quarter on for 3 days, but there is a posture that says, here I am. That we are crucified with Christ, as Paul says in Galatians. That we have a spirit and attitude, that a mindset that says, here I am. But I also believe that there are reoccurring periodic times where God is ready to speak to us specifically. How about when Abraham heard from God, according to Genesis 22, and he said, Abraham. And what's the first thing Abraham said? Here am I. He didn't say, wait a minute, God. He didn't say, like your kids say, hang on a minute. He said, here am I. I think that is a habit, not I think, I know, that is a habit that we must get into, is that when we hear God's voice, before we ever hear the details, we can trust Him enough to say, here I am. And you can follow the pattern of Abraham's life. It was like, what do you want? What is this all about? No. It's just Abraham. He said, here I am. And let me tell you how important this is. Because when he said, I want you to go to a mountain and sacrifice the promise on an altar, he didn't understand that. In fact, Hebrews said it didn't make any sense to him, but he believed if he had to kill his son, God would raise him back up. But I pose a question. If he didn't get in the habit of saying, here I am, on a consistent basis, when he had the knife above his son and was about to plunge it into him, one more time God said through the angel, Abraham, and he said, here am I. I propose that if he wasn't in a habit of saying, here I am, he could have easily killed the promise right there and right then. I'm just telling you, I don't know what's ahead in your life, but you better get accustomed to saying, here I am, when he calls your name, so that you don't abort the promise through a habit of consecration. Amen? And then the second thing I want you to learn from Samuel is that he mistook God's voice for Eli's voice. Did you get that? Apparently, it must have sounded familiar. It must have sounded similar, I should say. And I'm going to tell you right now, keep the man or woman of God's voice close to you. Eli sounded like God. And notice that Eli identified God's voice for Samuel. He didn't know what was going on. Eli, it took him a little while, but he understood. And thank God we have godly pastor here in this building. We have spiritual leadership in this building. We have mentors around us, elders and saints of God. I'm going to tell you right now, always understand that you need the voice of pastors and leaders to help you hear his voice. Amen. That's right. Teach it. I can remember many years ago, one of the first time, if not the first time, that the Lord had used me in a gift of the Spirit of interpretation of tongues. And I stepped out, but I can tell you right now, I was going to Eli. I went to Pastor T.L. Kraft and said, I need to know, was that God? Okay. You say, well, what if he said it wasn't? Well, I want to hear that too. Right? And so what I'm saying is we have to keep parents and spiritual mentors and pastors and true women and men of God close to us. Because I just noticed that it sounds a lot like it. Let me tell you when this principle is especially needed. And we always need spiritual leadership in our life. But if you are an infant in your spiritual journey, if you're new in the Lord, it's especially important that you keep Eli's close to you. Let me tell you another time that you need to be very keen towards this. And that is when you're vulnerable in times of change and transition. When you're going through things like that. Sometimes we can't trust our own voice, our own ear and flesh. You need to keep it close. When there is turmoil, when there's self-doubt, people need the authority of leaders in their lives. And then number three, I noticed that about something we can learn from Samuel is that humility and submission are always the vital ingredients. Arrogance and independence will not cause you to hear God's voice. If you have a spirit of independence and arrogance, you open yourself up to the deception of the angel of light. It's accountability that brings God's voice into your life. And let me tell you, just make sure we're clear about this. Obedience is not the same as submission. I can obey a particular instance, but not have a heart that is submitted to God. Don't ever let it be said out of your mouth, what can he, that man of God, say? Or what does she know about it? We've got to learn to approach and hear our elders with humility and with submission. Samuel said, I'm going to submit myself to that. I found out in this generation, there's been a lot of people that's gone astray in the apostolic doctrine because they value their peers' voice more than their elders who are experienced. You know why? Because I want to go to what I think I want to hear. But we need to hear the voices of Eli's. And this third point is that we need to do so with humility and with submission. Because the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So those are some things that I noticed. But let me go on for just a moment here and give us some practical ways to hear God's voice. What are some practical ways that we can hear God's voice? The first thing I'm going to submit to you is your personal prayer life. Your prayer life is important relationally. We need prayer in our relationship with Jesus, and let the church say amen. But I want you to look at it a little differently. Consider prayer as the role it plays in learning to hear God's voice. Does that make sense? I need a relationship with him. I need prayer and communication. But I want you to look at prayer life as a role that will help you to hear from God. Because prayer is a communication and it's a skill that gets better and deeper through spending more time with Jesus. If you have a friend, if you have a spouse, in time, you go from an immature to a skillful type of relationship where you know and hear them. Right? I begin to learn them more. And so it is with Jesus. You need to learn to become a Jesus-ologist. What are we talking about that? Ology is the study of. And so you begin to build a platform for communication and spending time and learning the style of how we're communicating together. There's all kinds of natural communication styles. There's a domineering style where it's one over another. There's a confrontational style that is one against another. There's the isolationist. That's the one that shuts down. But there's also a communication style called relational, where you seek first to understand, then be understood. And you got to be careful, because our human communication styles can affect our divine communication styles, positively or negatively. But if I can encourage you to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, a conversation with him, and in doing so, you begin to build a platform of how he talks to you and how you talk to him. They may come for me today with the white coats, but I've been in the hotel room alone a little bit more since Christina left. I talked to Jesus. Say, well, Jesus, I guess I need to go get some breakfast now. What do you think? You can look at me crazy. But Jesus isn't somebody that I just sit down and spend 5 minutes a day with. Jesus is my friend. Jesus loves me. He understands me. He's not some cosmic distant deity. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, in your personal prayer life, that you begin to cultivate this communication with Jesus. Is this helping anybody? Right. Here's another practical thing that will help you hear God's voice. You've come to the right place at the right time. It's worship gatherings. Right here. This is a great place to learn to hear God's voice. as a youngster, it wasn't in this building, but over in 13th and Grabois, I learned a lot about hearing from God's voice in the house of God. Did you notice that Samuel was in the house of God when he heard the voice of God? He wasn't at Jesse's house. He was at God's house. Yes, he was serving. Yes, he was ministering. And all those things are important. But before you can ever hear who God is and what he says as a king at Jesse's house, you got to learn to hear God's voice in the tabernacle. So are you hearing God's voice when we gather together? Are you coming in saying, I sure hope I get my blessing here today? I'd like to challenge that thinking to say, Lord, what do you want to tell me today? How do you want to use me? Who could I encourage here? What would be your will? What are you trying to say to me? And I learned through trial and error. I'm telling you, even in a pre-gathering prayer, even in those times of prayer, I can remember, please accept this for just, I learned and I went through this. I can remember coming to church early to pray. And when I would pray, it wasn't just so I could pray through, because I've been talking to Jesus about brushing my teeth. I didn't need to pray through. We've already had a relationship, but I began to learn. And sometimes you're around seasoned people of God, and you can kind of notice what's going on. And if you ever sense like, oh God, you're about ready to speak, something's changing in the atmosphere, and you tag that. You learn, hey God, you're starting to talk to me about that. I can hear a mentor of mine when I was in Jackson, Mississippi, and I'd go to church before and pray. And they said, Reavers plugged into the service. And I would start feeling a repentant spirit, and it'd show up in the gathering. I'd start feeling joy, and it'd show up in the gathering. I'd start feeling intercession, and it starts showing up in the gathering. There is a vital role that this gathering plays for you to learn to hear the voice of God. Because we're supposed to leave here and save the world. But here's where we learn to celebrate and be edified. Oh, help us, Lord. Let me give you another practical way to hear God's voice. That's the value of repetition. Repetition can be a part of the learning process. Did you notice it? Samuel heard God's voice 4 times before he got it right. Do we have that one, Brother Eric, number 3? Yeah. Okay, so what did that look like? Samuel! Run in there. Samuel. Okay. Maybe we could say he learned from trial and error. That might mess with some of your theology. But I read my Bible in Romans 12:2 that we ought to test and approve what God's will is. Sometimes it's a learning curve. Okay? I mean, there were other variables that made it more challenging for Samuel, like Eli himself. But God's, hear me now, God's repetition is not always a sign of our disobedience and struggle of the flesh. God, you had to tell me again. Now, I get it. There's sometimes it is. Sometimes we're just stubborn. We're rebellious. We don't want to listen. We're like the little kid that's got both fingers and both ears, and we're saying, at the same time. And I get that. And if you're like that, let me tell you right now, God will give you the same test until you pass it. See, with God, it's different than school. In school, we learn, then take a test. God gives you a test, then sends you to school. And he'll keep giving you that test until you learn it. So why don't we quit fussing and say, all right, God, what do you want me to learn from this? I don't need to go through it again. But my point is, it's not always that way. There's sometimes that God is, he understands we're human, and he's trying to help us, and we're trying to work through this. And I've had folks come to me and say, Pastor, I was supposed to speak to somebody, and I didn't give him that word. You know, what am I going to do? I said, well, it's not over. We think it's over because we didn't feel the, you know. You missed it. Go do it again. Go say it again. Go try it again. So there's a value in repetition. Now, that's just some practical ways. But now let's look at some personal patterns. And I'm going to first of all talk about some biblical patterns of people. But before I do that, I want you to know that God does use personal patterns to speak to us. But we should not assume that that's the only way God will speak to us. Okay? I'm gonna try to help you that he's God, and he'll do what he wants to do on how he pleases. But we gotta be open to any way he speaks to us. But I am gonna suggest to you, and no doubt some of you seasoned saints of God can agree, I think some of this I may be just articulating what you already know and what you're going through. But there's times you'll notice that God uses a pattern with you, and we can see this in the Bible. All I'm saying is these are patterns, not policy, okay? God speaks to us in different ways, but maybe it's based on our personalities. Maybe it's based on our emotions, but there's some patterns that we can see, I think, even biblically. The first one I want to give to you is the audible voice. And I see, even in our story tonight, Samuel, experienced an audible voice. God spoke to Samuel in this text in an audible voice in the tabernacle. It appears that he did the same thing at Jesse's house in 1 Samuel 16. So God does use audible voices. Now for me, I've never heard one like that. I'm sure there's people here. How many have heard an audible voice of God? Just lift your hand. All right? Look around. I want you to understand that. Okay? God does that. All right? So, biblically, we understand that God can use that pattern. There's another one, number two. It's dreams. And you know the character I see that God used a lot in dreams? Is Joseph, Mary's husband. Right? He'd say, here's a dream. I want you to do this. I want you to do this. All right? Most of my dreams come from Imo's Pizza, so that's not mine either. Again, I'm not trying to be, you know, just frivolous here, but how many use that God has more than once spoke to you in a dream? Okay? All right? I'm just showing you that that may be an anomaly, but sometimes it may also be a pattern the way God works. Here's another one that I want to give to you, and that is pictures. I see Ezekiel. I see a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Or I see John, who through the revelation of Jesus Christ saw pictures. And we have a lady in our church that God speaks that way. Just images will start coming to their mind. It's pictures that God uses. And I see it in Ezekiel and John, and I'm sure you have others that would come to you. Here's another one, that God will use actions. Isaiah and other prophets had to act out God's message. Lay on Jeremiah, who all those were, that have to lay on one side and stay there for a moment. That God would use our actions to speak to us and others. There's another one I want to mention here. And I'm going to just use the word others. Everybody say others. Now, I'm talking about a word that comes from others. Now, with this, we definitely, according to the word, have to try the spirits. Right? If you come up and prophesy that I'm going to Zimbabwe tonight, I'm going to try that spirit. But here's what I have noticed, because God has used others to speak to me, is that there will be a witness of that either before the word or after the word. Either way, it's going to happen. If you get a word tonight from somebody, you say, man, that don't make any sense. Don't discount that. God will confirm that in your spirit in time. But with that understanding, we cannot change the fact that God does use other people. Now, when God uses us to speak that, remember, you speak God's word, you don't interpret it. Sincerely, I've seen people that God's given them a word for somebody, but they should have stopped before they went into saying what it meant. And I've got Bible for that. What about in Acts 21? Remember when the prophet Agabus took the belt of Paul and Agabus bound his own feet and hands and said, the belt, the owner of this belt is going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to, the Jews are going to bind him and turn him over to the Gentiles who were hostile, wanted to kill him. Remember that? You look at that next verse, and it says, everybody said, don't go to Jerusalem. That's not what God said. God just said, you're going to get bound, you're going there, and it's not your job to interpret. In fact, Paul definitely tried that spirit because he said, you know what, if I die for the gospel with my hands and feet, I'm going because God told me to go to Jerusalem, and I just got a confirmation from Agabus. But it's not our job to interpret that.
Amen, that makes sense. That's right. Hallelujah.
So these are Bible ways that we have seen of patterns of how the Lord deals with people. But let me give you some practical examples. Let me just kind of go where we're living right now and look at some personal patterns, in particular, some just practical examples of how the Lord, and this is what God has done in my life, other people's life, and let's see what we can look through this, okay? All right, the first one is impressions in prayer. And the Lord will speak through impressions. What are impressions? What do we, when we hear that? This is not original to me, but I think it's a fantastic way to illustrate it. All right? I'd like for no one to make an audible sound, but I want you to, in your mind, hum a couple bars of Happy Birthday. Preferably to me. Just kidding. Okay? Are you hearing that? You hear that? I didn't hear it, but you heard it. Okay? The voice of God, in a practical way, can work like that. You heard it when no one else around you did. It's a gentle impression. It wasn't there, and now it is. Now, I understand we can have a lot of ideas, and we can be really busy in our minds, but I think a test proof of that is it won't go away. All right? I'll have an impression that'll come to me. And I'll think, well, and I'll think about it, and then you put it aside. And it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back. Don't ignore that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the voice that's talking to you. And I will say to this generation, all of us are going to have to do a better job of learning to listen. Because we live in a world of noise. And our minds are so busy, we're so occupied, we don't have alone time because we're always staring at this. My wife and I were talking about it. My heavens, I wish I could figure out how, and we're trying to figure it out, that I don't want to be bound by all this stuff. Because what happens is we're inundated by social media and all these things that are there, and I'm concerned sometimes that we're losing the art of listening. Distractions come. And so there's times that when you go to work, you need to turn everything off. Trust God for the traffic. You say, I might get in a traffic jam. You get 20 more minutes to listen to God. Anybody hearing that? And so a practical way is that you will hear impressions from the Holy Spirit. Here's another one. And that is the words of your prayer. Now, I talked earlier about prayer as developing this relationship with God. This is different. I'm talking about the words of your prayer. As I pray, I've had this happen. I notice it's not my words praying anymore. But the words and ideas are God's that I'm presently vocalizing. I'm not talking about even just an unknown tongue. If you've ever had this, and I'm helping you right now, that sometimes you begin to pray, and all of a sudden you start saying things out loud. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? This isn't coming from my mind or my idea. It's my mouth, but God is speaking right now. I got a terrible memory, so I get to writing what I'm saying. Sometimes I can't write fast enough, so I am thankful for technology. I put it on there, and I just start talking away to it. Is this helping you? Is that God will begin to speak with you. And sometimes we may call this aspect prophetic praying. All right? Where prophetically you begin to speak. Okay? And you got to have a relationship with the Lord for that. I can remember many, many years ago, and I've used this example when I've taught on resentment and I've taught on forgiveness because but I'm going to plug it in here. I can remember a time, just for what it's worth, I was a youth pastor in Jackson, Mississippi. I was supposed to be so right and righteous and holy before the Lord, just like Brother Brad is now. But I wasn't. And I got an attitude toward somebody. And it just, I didn't want it there. I didn't like it. But the only thing I had going for me is I admitted it. I said, God, I know I'm not supposed to have this. I know I don't like this. But Lord, I got, and again, I can't go into all of how I can help you with that, but I will just say quickly that I learned to do pray it, and number two, don't talk it. Because as soon as you give voice to that, you crystallize those thoughts and you give credence to it. Now, I understand there's times to talk to people in confidence. Okay? But anyway, my point about this subject. I went to the prayer room and I was telling God again, I was trying to keep that soft, like, God, I'm not supposed to be doing this. And Lord, I know that I don't want this attitude in my heart. And you know I'm human just like, and the man's name came out that I was ticked off about. I said, Lord God, you know I'm human just like John Doe. Like, whoa, John Doe. That's the one I'm mad at. But I believe the Lord began to speak to me through the words of my prayer. And I began to understand that, you know what? The same way I need mercy, he needs mercy. The same way I need understanding and forgiveness, he needs understanding and forgiveness. But the point of this is, God used the words of my prayer. Let me give you another one, number three. And that is the Word of God. There's nothing more reliable than the written Word of God. It is forever settled. And let the church say amen. But beyond just reading your Bible, the Bible can speak a message to you. A passage can jump out at you. It can become alive. It can ping you. Has anybody ever been reading the Word of God and say, whoa, I'm not just reading print right now. God just spoke to me through His Word. Now here's a real revelatory thing. You got to read it for that to happen. Just saying. Here's another one, number four. And that's what I'm going to call internal instincts. I'm not talking about just impressions of God's voice, but internal instincts. And I'm going to do my best to explain this. Probably one of the best ways to describe this would be spirit-led living. Spirit-led living. When you take all the aforementioned practical tools I've shared with you together, impressions of the Spirit, words of your prayer, when you do all of that stuff and you practice this long enough, here's what I'm suggesting to you. They mature and they establish in time a pattern of God's voice and direction by internal signals. Now watch this. So then it becomes not just hearing, but knowing. When Christina was teaching Saturday, I was listening to her. And I was finishing the sentence before she said it. Because I know her. Now, God love her. She has a hard time doing that with me because I'm not quite as predictable. But you get that? You just start knowing. I'm not suggesting that I should stop praying. I'm not suggesting that I should not. But in fact, you've got to continually sow to the Spirit if you're going to continue to be led of the Spirit. Because if you don't, you will lose this internal instincts. But I'm telling you, there is a place that you can be in God, and no doubt many are, that you can operate on what you feel and what you have peace to do. And in reality, you're being led by the Spirit's voice. And I didn't get an impression. I didn't get anything else. But I just know that's what I'm supposed to do because I am led of the Spirit. Is that coming across right now? That there's a place in Jesus. That if you have to say, Jesus, should I come to Sunday night church? It's nothing bad. But you got a little maturity there that gotta grow up a little bit. Nothing wrong with growing up. Growing up's not a sin. We recommend it. Okay? But you ought to get to a place in time where there's just some things you don't even have to pray about. Oh, is that messing with us? I don't need to pray. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I've heard his voice. I know what he's wanting. It's at this level. And let me just tell you, if you get a direct word from the Lord, you obey it. No matter how much it doesn't make sense, if God speaks to you, then you do it. Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Doesn't make sense to fill water pots with water at the feast of the wedding, but God said do it, and when he does, he turns water into wine. So if you hear a voice of God directly, you obey it. But how many found out there's a lot of times you don't get a direct word from God? We'd like one. Sometimes I get jealous of Moses. I call it Moses Mountain Talk. He just go to the mountain, God write it out for him, speak all those things audibly. God doesn't work that way often in our lives because he wants us to cultivate that ear. He wants to cultivate that sensitivity. And you don't get it just spelled out that way. You've got to develop a relationship with God. And when you don't hear a direct word from God, what do? You follow your internal instincts. You follow your peace. You follow the voice of God and the Spirit of God. And if I get peace on it, I act on it. If I don't have peace on it, I wait. Oh, I've learned this through the years. Christina and I have talked about it. I am not going to get caught up in somebody giving me a deadline for something if I don't have peace on it. We got to have that article now. Well, you know what? If I don't have peace about it, I haven't heard a word from the Lord about it, I guess we're just going to have to wait. And sometimes that's, you know, oh, I'm telling you right now, the realtor says I got to have a decision tomorrow on this house. Well, you know what? If I feel forced to what a realtor said, I'm going to say, well, sorry, I guess I'm just not going to get it. And if God wants me to get it, he's going to get it. But I'm not going to force my peace. Is this too simple or does this make sense? And sometimes we get caught up in all the systems of this world, but I'm here to tell you that we can live a life of Spirit-led living, and we begin to follow his presence. We begin to take this journey, and just as the word of the Lord was given to us, he gave us that ear so we can hear him. He gave us this voice so we can communicate with him and praise him. And everything we have is his. I didn't get this ear just to hear the latest thing of what's going on. I got this voice and this ear to speak and to hear what the Lord is saying. And I know I've been teaching you practically, but just kind of come with me to Nigeria. They can take notepads and write it down. They can set it down and have a move of God. Here's the word I hear right now. God is calling his voice to come back to this generation that has been quieted and silenced by so many distractions. We've got to hear from God. We've got to hear from God, not YouTube. We got to hear from God. And when you think about it, I'm about ready to land the plane. It's a long runway, but I'm landing it. When you think about it, isn't it true that you would naturally expect an audible message from God to be given to the priest Eli? Not the child Samuel. Eli was older. He was more experienced. He held the proper position. But let me tell you, God's chain of command is not based on age or position. It is based on faith. And I don't know who the youngest one in this room is in the Lord being born again, but I'm telling you right now, God wants to use you to bring the voice back to this generation. Hallelujah. If we're faithful to him, God can use unexpected channels that we've got to be prepared to that he can work at any place, at any time, through anyone he chooses. He's just looking for somebody when he calls your name to say, here I am. And I hope you are learning today. I've learned. I hope you are, but more than just learning about this skill set, as it were, of hearing the voice of God. I believe that Samuel, in fact, we know it was bigger than that. This was the time of the judges. There was nothing going on, but you track after this night and this early morning hours with Samuel. What happened? God brought his voice, his prophetic word back to a generation and back to Israel. And I don't know why, but could it be today that in this message today, somebody of Samuel's going to rise up and say, God, I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to bring your voice back to my family and to this generation. I'm ready to hear your voice and speak your word. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads right now, please. We need to hear from you, Jesus. We need a word from you. We won't go on until we hear from you. Speak, my Lord, and I'll be quick to answer you.
my little room in Baltimore. I got on the keyboard and I went down memories lane. Sister Betty Brady, a lot of times you'll come to my mind of things that you used to sing when I was a boy. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer you. We need a word from the Lord. We need to be disciplined enough and hungry enough to cultivate these practices. Not so that we can make the right decision on the new house we want to buy. Oh, I want His direction in everything I do. Everything I do is spiritual. There's no such thing as buying a car that's not spiritual to the child of God. Everything is spiritual, but it's more than just that. I want to cultivate this because this generation needs to hear God's voice. It needs to come back, and it's not just for the youngsters. I was so encouraged about the youth group down here praying. I asked Brother Small, does this happen every week? He said, yes. Come on, kids, keep doing that, because you've got to learn to cultivate that generational voice. But it's not just that. We need our elders to lead the way. We need saints of God to say, I'm going back to my prayer closet. I'm going back. I'm going to be hungry to say, God, oh Lord, raise up your voice again to a very wicked generation that's in our midst. Hallelujah. Would you begin to pray right now all over the place, all over this place? And the best place to start is, here am I. Here am I, Lord. I want a habit of responding to you when you hear my voice, when I hear your voice. I don't want to ask for the details. You'll give them to me in time. But what I want to do is just have a readiness. I don't want to abort the promise in my life. I don't want to rationalize this thing out. Oh God, help me, Jesus, to learn and gain from you, and let your Holy Spirit lead us right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just telling you, there's a place in prayer. There's a place in a relationship with the Lord. It may look different than it was 20, 30 years ago. You may not just pray exactly like you used to pray before, because there's a spirit-led experience. There's a relationship with the Lord that I'm just knowing more than what I was hearing. I'm learning His voice. I'm learning that. I'm cultivating that in my quiet times. Is anybody getting an appetite tight for that? Come on, Samuel. Come on, Samuel. You're just minding your business. You were faithful, just like Samuel was faithful. He came to the tabernacle. He did his job. You were faithful. You came here on a Sunday night. But could it be somewhere in the midst of this Sunday night faithfulness? He'd call you, Samuel. He's calling you. He's asking you to step out. Is there anybody here that hears that voice? Anybody here hungry for that voice? So much that you would be willing to stand up from where you are and make a move towards this place. It doesn't matter if you're in the choir loft, the media booth, on the second row, the eighth row, or the last row. Is there anybody here that says, Lord, I've been faithful. I'm here. I didn't even want to come right now. In my flesh, I was weary, but I came. I worshiped you. I honored you. But I want to go beyond that. I want to hear your voice that's speaking. I want to learn, oh God. I don't come to you as a perfect man. I've got so many frailties in humanity, but I'm just here to say, I don't know why, but God said, let's bring my voice back to this generation. If there's ever an assembly, if there's ever a community that has heard the voice of God in the years that we have experienced, it's been this church. But I'm telling you, God's not through with Apostolic Pentecostal Church. He's not through. He's not through. He's asking you. He's calling on you. Are you ready to say, here am I? Are you ready for my voice to permeate the atmosphere? You're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to take notes. You're going to have to go to school. But I am willing to teach you if you're willing to hunger after me. I say, come on, in the name of Jesus. Hearing the voice of the Lord. Hearing the voice of the Lord.
Withholding nothing.
Where do you want me to go, Jesus?
I surrender.
What do you want me to do, Jesus?
To you.
I don't think I can pray long enough or hard enough. I just got to develop a relationship with you. That I just know. I've got peace. If you're new in the Lord or you've never been filled with the Spirit, come to the front. God wants to fill you with His Spirit. He'll speak to you. You can know the path to take, the choices to make through the voice of God. But it starts with a born-again experience. Put your faith in Jesus. Come to the front. Repent of your sins. We have water to baptize you in the name of Jesus. And you shall receive the gift of the Spirit, the genesis of the voice, the Spirit-led life. That's it, church, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's go past the routine. Let's go past the function of faithfulness. And let's get into a relationship. Oh, yes, yes, yes. In the name of Jesus. Samuel. David. Peter. Sean. Whoever you are, God's calling. God's calling. He said, I've been waiting and I'm ready to use you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. Just stay here. Hallelujah. You may be quiet right now. You may be listening right now. Hallelujah. But He's speaking. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I will never, from this moment on, forget you, saith the Lord.